You ever defeated yourself? It's really not very hard to do. I can think of a number of times in my own life where there was something I was maybe dreading, something I wasn't necessarily looking forward to, and I could worry about it so much I physically became sick, became ill, and I wasn't able to do it. There have been other times we can say within our minds time and time again, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And you know what? We're usually right when we would go into something with that kind of mindset. Of course, I'm reminded of Israel at the banks of Jordan. They're here ready to go over into Canaan, land God has told them He would give them. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, though, they said, we can't do it. And so they turn back, they're threatening mutiny. And God says, you're not going to enter into that land. But you know what? Your children will. Your next generation will. And instead of dying there, they're going to flourish there. They had said within their minds, we can't do it. I've never played sports. But can you imagine a coach before he sends his team out onto the field? He tells them, you sure are up against a tough obstacle today. They're big. They're faster. They're better. You're probably going to lose. Now go out and play your best. I can imagine what kind of mindset they would go out there with. Came across an interesting story one day about a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick. She was 34 on July 34th, but I've never heard of that day. So she was 34 sometime in July of 1952. She was known for her swimming. She had previously swum the English Channel in both directions. But on this day, she had a new goal set forth for her. She was going to swim the Catalina Channel in California. That day, she stepped out into the cold water and began a long swim. She had to go, and she had to go swim for 26 miles across this channel, and she starts off strong. She had been swimming for 15 hours and 55 minutes. During this time, a thick fog had set in. She couldn't really see very far in front of her at all. Of course, there were safety boats around her that were both watching for sharks and then also, I guess, helping to guide her in some sense. She was out there swimming for this long period of time, and she was growing tired. She was growing weary. Can't imagine swimming for almost 16 hours. And finally, she says, I can't do it. She wanted to quit. And so she calls the boats in that are around her and she says, get me out of the water, I'm done. Reports vary. First one I read said a half a mile. When she got in the boat, she found out she was only half a mile from the shore. Another one said 1 mile. I think after I had gone for 25 miles for 16 hours, I'd like to think if I knew I was that close, I could go ahead and do it. But she had a big problem. She couldn't see the goal that was ahead of her. She couldn't see what she was doing. She didn't know how close she was until she got into that boat, and now she learns, I was that close. But mentally, she had defeated herself. She would tell a reporter on that occasion, I'm not excusing myself, but if only I could have seen land, I know I could have made it. If I had been able to see that goal, if I had been able to see what I was striving for, I know I could have made it because I was that close. I could reach out and I could get it. But she couldn't. And so she defeated herself. I guess there's a lot of lessons we can learn from that in the life of a Christian. Number one, we have to keep our goal, our mind on heaven, on serving God as we go through this life, or it's easy to become distracted. I'm going to focus on another lesson that we get from that this morning and that, or this evening, and that is that we can easily defeat ourselves. And that's exactly what she had done. She was able to do this if she had kept telling herself that mentally and could have kept going. Because just a few months later, she would again attempt that same swim. And once again, a heavy fog came in. Once again, she couldn't see the goal that was before her, but yet it was in her mind. And so she kept swimming, until she reached the other end. She was successful. Because she had set herself up for that kind of success. I think we read about a man in the Bible that also had a problem here with some self-defeat. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read an account that we're probably familiar with. Matthew chapter 14, we read about Peter. And Peter's going to set out into the water and do something that no one else save Jesus himself has ever done. That is, he was going to be able to walk on water. And I want to begin reading this account beginning in verse 22. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I want to notice a few different points tonight. Number one, Peter was able to do great things when he trusted in Christ. When Peter set his vision, as we oftentimes maybe have heard this preached, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do great things. You think about what's happening here to the disciples. They've gone out into this boat. They are in the midst of the sea here. It's estimated they are about 3 to 4 miles across, roughly in the center of this sea that's 6 miles wide. They're out here in the middle of the sea. They've been struggling all night. Based on the time frame given, it's estimated they're maybe around 4 in the morning now, and they're still struggling. They've only gone halfway across the sea. They're right out here in the middle, and it is known for its storms. Storms that come up rapidly, and storms that are vicious. They're high waves, high winds, because of the geography of the area. The winds will sweep in over the mountain range from the east and sweep right down over that water and stir it up. And so they found themselves caught in the middle of this storm. Right out here in the middle. There's nothing to do except hope, pray, and try to keep that ship going in as much as they can in the right direction. And they've been struggling with it all night. And in that condition, mentally and probably physically worn out, they began seeing Jesus walking on the water. It's probably still dark. Maybe the first hints of light are coming over the horizon. They can't see what this is. They think it's a spirit. But they're going to recognize Jesus' voice as he says, "It is I, be not afraid." And Peter, I believe, shows a great deal of faith here. A great deal of confidence in Christ. As well he should have. You think about all of these disciples that were with Jesus all of the time. Think of all that they had seen him do. In Matthew's account here, if you back up in verse 14, he's just been able to feed the 5,000. They've seen him heal sick people. They've seen him do all of these great things. Peter should be, just like the rest of the apostles, trusting in Jesus. They should have great confidence in him. And I believe Peter at this point did. He believed with every bit of his being, if Jesus had come, he could do it. Why else did he step out on the water? Peter showed a great deal of faith here as this storm is going on all around them, and he says, "Let me come out on the water." Jesus says, "Come." I think there's a part of me I'd still be looking at the waves, still be wondering, could I do this? But yet Peter shows that great deal of confidence. Because he is indeed willing to get out on the water. He's willing to get out of the boat. And now he is walking on that water. He believed. He had faith in Christ. And when he did that, he was able to accomplish this great thing. In fact, we don't know maybe how long here, but for some distance, he's there. He's walking on the water. He's got his eyes on Jesus as he's going unto him. And as long as that faith is secure in Christ, he's able to continue in that. He's able to continue doing these things. Peter, we often look at as someone that's a bit of a rash, we might use the word. Sometimes he was almost maybe a little, word escapes me, but he was willing to jump into something. We find Peter, he's willing to fight for Jesus as it's time in the garden. He's probably ready there even to go to death because I'm going to fight for Christ. We find him as Jesus is telling him, "You're going to deny me." Peter says, "No, not me. I won't deny you." He was ready to jump in there, but his faith sometimes wasn't always what it should be. It wasn't always ready to back it up. On this occasion, he does get here out of the boat. And we can, I think, learn a lot from that. There's a lot that we can accomplish when we have faith in God that we're never going to accomplish if we don't have that kind of faith. If we don't have faith in God, we're never first going to initially obey the gospel. Why? We don't have that trust in anything He has said. If we don't have that faith in God, we're going to be wondering, can we accomplish the work He's given us? And it's a big task to be faithful to Him as we go through life. Take the gospel into all of the world. To trust Him and trust His promises based on what we read from the Word of God. When there are critics, when there are those that would oppose us all around us, it's going to take a great degree of faith. Look at some of the greatest men we read of separate from Christ in the Bible. And of course, one person we think about is Paul. Look at the great things that he accomplished in his life. And yet here is a man that time and time again pointed people not to his own power, to his own strength, but to the power of God. To the Corinthians he would write, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 6. It says our sufficiency isn't of ourselves. You look at what we're able to accomplish, he said, "I'm not taking credit for that there." We're doing these things through our faith in God. He's the one that allows these things to happen. He didn't preach himself, but the power of God. We looked at that this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. When he would tell them, "I desire to not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We find what he was preaching in Romans 1 and verse 16 when he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I believe time and time again we see Paul proclaiming to the people, "Don't have faith in me. Don't simply trust me because Paul said it. But follow those things you know are right because you have faith in God. There's also Paul that was going to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. You look in that context there, what he's talking about is things are as I'm abounding, as I'm abased. Whatever situation, whatever state I find myself in, therewith I can be content. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do His will. Because in Him I'm strengthened. I think also we find this in Romans chapter 8. I know we just looked at this Wednesday night in, I believe, our Daniel class, but Romans chapter 8. We could read this whole section down from about verse 28 to the end of the chapter, but look in verse 31. It says, what shall we say then? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? If God is for us in reference here to this salvation that He's planned, that He's purposed, what's going to be able to successfully stand against us? In verse 37, he says, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have here a great victory. And that victory is in Christ. Confidence there isn't in of ourselves. That's when Peter was able to do this great thing as he's walking here on the water. His confidence, his faith is in Christ. As Paul is looking around at the things he's able to do, the things he's able to accomplish, he looks at it as a great blessing. But he says, it's not of my own sufficiency. My sufficiency is in God. As you look at that, we begin to ask ourselves, well, if we have that same attitude that Paul is expressing here in Romans chapter 8, the attitude of if God be for us, what can be against us? Or who can be against us? What can defeat us then? If that's right, as it is, who can defeat us? I think there's one answer to that question. That answer is yourself. Yourself is the one that's going to be able to defeat you. You know, all of those things can't separate us from the love of God. But we can turn away. We can fail. We can decide, I'm going to take that faith away from God. Or my faith. Maybe not the best way to express that, but I think you know what I mean. I'm going to take my faith out of God. It's not going to be in God anymore. Not going to trust and rely upon Him. I think that's the second thing you notice here about Peter. Because Peter is going to take his eyes off here of Jesus as he's going to Him. Instead, I'm going to look around at everything else that's going on in life. For Peter, he looks around at this storm. He looks around at the raging the winds, the raging sea, the waves. And I wonder if he begins doubting in his mind, I can't do this. As it's happening, it's not natural, it's not right. He has that mindset there, I can't do it. He begins doubting. We read there in verse 30, 31, as Jesus responds to him later, he says, O thou of little faith, why for did you doubt? Your faith was weakened. Faith or fear became an obstacle to faith. We mentioned in the beginning, and we've studied before, the Israelites. Their greatest obstacle was fear. That which defeated them was themselves. Years later, as their children went into Canaan, they were going to be successful. Not because they were any stronger, any mightier. Not that Canaan at that time was any weaker. But they trusted in God. When Peter here takes his faith away from Christ, takes his eyes off and he focuses on these other things, he set himself up for defeat. But he did it to himself. I think, too, of Matthew chapter 13. And you read there the parable of the sower. Of course, there was a soil that wasn't ready at all. It was a hard ground. It was compacted. The wayside where people had been walking, and the seed couldn't even penetrate there. It didn't even take root, and it was taken away. Of course, you know the good ground there. It was able to take fruit, take root and bring forth much fruit. But two other types of soils. The rocky soil, the thorny soil. Both of those soils, the seed was able to implant. It was able to take root. It was able to begin growing. But neither one would bring forth fruit because of its surrounding circumstances. The thorns would choke it out. The rocks would keep it from taking a deep root. The things around would take that seed out of the heart where it wouldn't bring forth fruit. Such is true in the life of a Christian. We can focus on things all around us. We can focus on the fears of life. We can focus on the problems we may face. We may focus and begin thinking, well, this isn't something I can do myself. We trust in ourselves. Set ourselves up for failure. Begin looking at the work that God given us as Christians, as a congregation, as a church. I think there's no way. We can't do this. You're right. If we're trusting in ourselves. And that's what I believe Peter began doing here. He begins doubting. And he removes his faith from Christ. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I believe that's the same type of attitude that's expressed here. Paul has been using again those Israelites as an example to Christians. He's talked about the things that they did. He says they're an example that we should learn from. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them for example. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And then we have this warning in verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I don't believe Paul there is saying we can never have confidence in our salvation. The New Testament tells us we can have confidence in our salvation. We can have confidence we're walking with God and being pleasing unto Him. But Paul is giving us a particular warning here against trusting in ourselves. Is that not the problem that Israel, that first generation that came out of Egypt, had? They trusted in themselves and not God. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," just like the Israelites we were just talking about. They trusted in God, they trusted in themselves instead of God, and they fell. You as a Christian will do the exact same thing. If you think you're going to stand on your own, you've just set yourself up for a great failure. Because it's not going to happen. If your faith, your confidence, your trust isn't in God, it's not going to last. Rather, it has to be in God. So easy to look around at the troubles we face in life, at the problems we have, and think, how in the world am I going to handle this all on my own? Most likely you're not, if that's your attitude. But yet if our faith, if our trust is in God, we have the greatest confidence this world can ever know. A God that cares about us, a God that loves us, a God that watches over us, a God that knows all of the problems that we face. Who in His Word says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, "Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do unto me." Where's his confidence? It's in God. Here I know I serve a God that is powerful, a God that's creator of all of the universe, and a God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Again, I keep drawing us back to this central idea. What happened to Peter? Did the power of Christ change? Did his ability change? No. All of the same circumstances were there when Peter began to sing as when he first set out of that boat, except one thing, himself. He was what changed. If anything defeated Peter, it was himself, because he allowed fear to take over faith. And it's so easy for us to do the exact same thing. We allow fear to conquer faith, and instead of trusting in God, now we're worrying about all of these things ourselves. We're not going to God and His Word to look for the answers. We're not going to Him to look for the solutions. We're not going to Him in prayer with the things that we face. We're not going to be successful without Him. Just as Peter learned as he began to sink. So if we trust in ourselves, even as Peter seems to begin doing there, you set yourself up for failure. So you find there Peter, and he begins to sink there at the end of verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And yet I also want us to notice something else. Peter was saved when he called upon Christ. When he began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched his hand forth, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter began recognizing something. As he began to sink, he, I think, brought something back to mind. I can't do anything about this. I'm not going to be able to save myself. Here I am in the middle of the sea. You know, critics have tried to counteract this and said, you know, this was a fluke. You know, they were just in shallow water, and here, you know, Jesus was walking on the edge of the shore. That's all that Peter was doing and Jesus were doing. That's how he's able to walk on water. He found maybe a high place there. They're 3 miles out in the middle of the sea. The winds are blowing all around them. And I don't know how Peter begins to sink if he's just in a few inches of water. Here he is, he's sinking, and he recognizes, I can't do anything about it, but there's someone right here that can. I think immediately Peter's focus is going to be shifted back off of these things that are all around him, back onto Jesus. He knows who he needs to call out to. He knows who is the one that can save him. And so Jesus will stretch forth his hand, bring him back, and pull them both back into the boat. As you look in verse 33, the faith of all of the disciples that are there, all of them in this boat are going to be strengthened. They that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. I wonder how many times that was brought back to them time and time again. When Jesus does a miracle, and say, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Who else could do these things? And yet those miracles are recorded for us that we can know these are the things that happen. They're there for our faith as well. To know these are the things that Jesus did, that we can see just like the disciples, that that Jesus, while He was on earth and thus showing us God has the same power, He had power over all things. Not a single thing that He didn't. He had power over the elements. He had power over sickness. He had power over life. He had power over death. He had power over the elements of the sea. All of these things He had power over. And so they are reminded, once again, their faith is strengthened that, yes, You are the Son of God. As we mentioned a little earlier about Peter, his faith wasn't exactly what it should have been. It was strong at first, but it weakened. And yet this event, and certainly the other events that we know of Peter, are all going to help mold him, going to help shape him. So that this is the same man that will later say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Peter learned something about God, about Christ on this occasion. Number one, about the power, about faith and keeping that faith in Christ instead of trusting in himself or beginning to worry about all of the things that might happen around him, but also about the care of God. Peter, I'm sure, knows by this point in his life, as he writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, that we can cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. He watches over us. He cares for us. But he had to humble himself, trust in Christ. He humbled himself before Christ when he recognized, I need help. He humbled himself before Christ when he recognized that he needed to call out and look to him for the solution. And that's the same thing we have to do in life, both in initial obedience to the gospel, but also in continued obedience. Initially, we think of maybe Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 and following. Come unto me, all ye that labor, Jesus says. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus calls upon all people to have that same type of faith, that same type of trust in Jesus that's going to turn and call upon him. When we picture him there with those open arms, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come and follow my will. Come and decide, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow his will. It's expressed for us in the New Testament. That I can see one that hears the word and believes it, one that will repent of his sin, one that will confess Christ, one that will be baptized or immersed in water. Those sins are going to be washed away. Those sins are forgiven. And there is one that's added unto the body of Christ, the church, that he promised to die for, and indeed he did die for. He promised to save, as he says, I'm coming again that you might be with me. It's the promises and hopes we have, but then that continues. We could look at John chapter 15, and I believe we studied this somewhat recently. John 15 and verse 4. We find ourselves in Christ then from initial obedience to the gospel, but then we have to continue with him. Peter allowed his faith to drift away from Christ, and that's when he got himself into trouble. He found the solution when he would turn back to Christ. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You had faith in Christ. Don't give it up. Don't allow anything else to take you away. Don't allow anything else to remove you from me. Because the only way you're going to bear fruit and be pleasing unto God is if you remain in me. If you continue in my will. And we need to understand and recognize we have every reason to. Because it is the only place in which we can gain an eternal victory. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 57 and 58. You had faith in Christ, now continue in it. Paul says in Christ is the only place in which you can gain that victory, in which you have that victory. With that knowledge, with that understanding, then stand fast. Don't be moved away. Don't allow anything to turn you from it. Don't allow anything to distract you. But abide in Christ. It says, then we have that eternal victory. As do all of those that will call upon the Lord. That's more than just calling out His name. That's an obedience to the gospel. So exactly what we find Paul doing when he was told to arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord for the remission of his sins. There was obedience to his will. But then we continue in that and we have that same hope, that same promise that will continue with us through this life. But how easy it is to give that up. How easy it is to turn away from it if we remove our focus. If we begin thinking about what I might do by myself, if we begin thinking about, well, can I do it? If we in our work begin thinking about, well, can we fulfill the mission that's been given to us? All of those things can begin focusing on our own individual strength. And when we do that, we begin setting ourselves up for self-defeat. Someone says, I can't do it. Probably going to be right. Someone says, I can't continue faithfully in the gospel. With that mindset, we probably won't. And yet if we say, I'm going to focus on serving God, put my faith in Him, my trust in Him, I'm going to rely upon Him, then He's given us everything that we need to know for life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need to know right here in His Word that we can follow with Him, that we can know His will, and that we can secure those promises He's given us. I think those are some lessons we can learn from Peter about how easy it is, even there as an apostle that knew Christ, that was walking with Him day by day. And yet he learned something about how easy it was to lose faith, how easy it was to allow fear to overcome and to defeat himself, and how he needed to remind himself time and time again to keep that faith in Christ. And that's the same thing we need to do even tonight. Where do you find yourself tonight, even as we assemble together? Is it outside of Christ, never having become His child? Never having become a child of God by obedience to the gospel, even as we've talked about tonight? You ready to obey the gospel initially? Or maybe it is that we find ourselves a little bit like Peter. We turn around, we turn away, we give up, we quit. And yet God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. As we turn back to Him, we're willing to truly repent of those things and walk again once with Him. Will you make that decision even tonight? As together we stand and sing.